guys, it's Amanda and Baron, and we are back again with Kicking Cancer Cares. And our sponsor for this second half is Marianne McNally. She is a residential real estate specialist with Next Home Realty Connection. So if you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, or just not really sure where to start, she's definitely your go-to girl and can give you all of the tips and tricks. So give her a call at 503-409-4389, and please continue to keep her in your prayers as she is going through her own battle.
Well, and I want to give one more shout-out to Marianne.
Yes.
Because I work at the Mavericks League now. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of games already planned at the Mavericks League that have kind of a theme to it. There's a City of Salem game. There's a State of Oregon game. But I went to Marianne. I said, this year, on June the 6th, is the 80th anniversary of D-Day.
Oh, no way.
80 years ago, on June the 6th, a lot of guys died on that beach.
Yeah, they did.
And she is sponsoring that game.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
And we're going to do a game specifically to honor D-Day.
Okay.
Sponsored by Marianne McNally.
All right. That's awesome.
And she's already got the email back. We were a little late this year, but she got an email from Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Tom Hanks' assistant. Tom Hanks' assistant.
That's close enough.
But the assistant talked to Tom, and he's intrigued, and there's a decent chance that next year's D-Day game, we might have Tom Hanks here.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
She's on a first-name basis.
You'll have to bring him in and interview him so that we could let him
know. You know, I would love to have Tom Hanks in the station.
I can clear my schedule. That's okay. I can make some shifts.
And if you guys didn't know, the person that sponsors the second half of the show, there's a TV show called Banner Brothers. I don't know if you've ever seen her or not. Mm-hmm. One of the characters is Don Mularkey, and that's her dad.
Oh, wow.
Her dad was one of the Banner Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing story.
And her dad parachuted in behind the French lines. He and his group took out one of the main snipers that was killing the guys on the beach. It's like, you guys have got to get in there and get rid of this guy because mm-hmm. we can't even take the beach. So they did that. They went up to the Netherlands in November. They had basically taken France, and they'd gone to the Netherlands, had a nice warm house that they were in, and all of a sudden they got word that the Germans were going through Belgium. So his company was sent to Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, wow.
But not with winter clothes, because they were in a nice little house in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So they got to the Battle of the Bulge, no winter clothes. It is still here 80 years later. It is still the coldest winter on record.
Wow.
Yeah.
The trees were frozen. And the Germans were setting these bombs that hit the trees, and then the trees would basically break apart like spears, then fall on our soldiers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Crazy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the death was less the bombs and more the trees that were frozen. Mm-hmm. The ground was so frozen you couldn't dig foxholes. I mean, that was her dad.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And she sponsored the second half of the show, and I said, this is the 80 year of D-Day. We should find a way to memorialize that.
Yeah.
Well, when they created the show, Band of Brothers, Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, and it released, her dad and her got to go to France. Like, she's...
Wow.
She's famous in my
eyes. I said, I will call him Mr. Hanks.
Yes.
You can call him Tom. But there's a remote chance that we could have him here next year.
That's amazing.
But in the meantime, Marianne's going to help us remember the 80th anniversary of that horrible, horrible day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks again for all you do, Marianne.
Yes, thank you so much, Marianne.
But I would, because you mentioned something in the first half of the show, Danny, about your mother being a breast cancer survivor mm-hmm. and your dad passed away.
Yep.
And again, you and I, started like a month ago. I'm really thrilled to get to know who you are. And thrilled that you're part of our boat. But why does this Kicking Cancer message resonate to you?
Well, the first thing that I think of is because it happened first. My mom had breast cancer, and they took a biopsy, and they needed to get it out. And so that was a huge fear, you know, really. And it was really scary.
How long ago was that?
That would have been in the early 90s.
Okay.
Okay.
So sometime back.
Yeah.
How old were you?
It's been a long time. I was, how old was I? I don't know, in the 90s, 80s.
I asked the question last time. You asked the question this time. He's actually going to answer the question.
Yeah.
You just chastised me for asking.
I was in my 30s, I think. I don't know. I gotta,
he answered the question.
I need to get out my calculator.
So how old are you now?
No, I'm just kidding. The look on the two ladies' faces when she asked you that question is hilarious.
I don't care. I'm 60, so whatever that was.
Yeah. You were in your 30s at some point.
Yeah, I was in my 30s. Yeah. But
still scary that your mother got
it. It was so scary, and she had it twice. Oh. So not just once, but it happened twice.
Oh, geez.
So I believe it was in my 20s the first time, in my mid-30s the second time.
Okay.
And got a clean bill of health. And my dad ended up with lung cancer.
Which means your mother's a 30-year survivor.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That is.
Yes.
Awesome.
I mean, she's pretty amazing herself. So.
I'm sure. Well, if you're her kid, she's kind of amazing.
She's good. Well, I don't know. There were times when I don't think she thought I was that amazing. But
okay.
But right now, she thinks I'm okay.
That's okay.
But then we had a pretty traumatic incident with my dad. He fell down and cracked a rib. And so he went to the doctor, got a cracked rib. It hurts. And the doc didn't even worry about the rib. He just said, "Hey, you got a spot on your lung."
Mm.
And Dad said, "Okay, what's that mean?" He said, "Well, no, this is a big deal." So they went in, and sure enough, it was lung cancer. And he walked through some pretty difficult things. They had to go in, and the waiting game. I mean, first we find out he's got a spot on his lung. Okay, you know, 2 months later, they take a biopsy. Three months later, after that, we find out what's going on.
What a waiting game.
Yeah. And I think it was about 9 months before we actually had a surgery.
Whoa. Wow.
And then what they decided was they had to take the lower two, there's lobes, and there's three lobes in your lungs.
Yep.
And they took the lower third, the lower two.
Yeah.
And he went through that, and then he, I mean, that was quite traumatic because he was in a lot of pain. And if you've ever seen it, before they let him leave, he has to be able to suck in a certain amount of air, pressure.
It's gotta be painful.
And he, I would watch him, and he struggled so hard, and he finally hit that level so that he could go home.
Wow.
But, I mean, he had tubes coming out of his sides and all that stuff because they have to drain and all these things. And so he got done with that. Surgery was done. And then he went into chemo, lost his hair, and my nephews, they shaved their head and they were young, you know.
Just to, like, just be a part of it.
To be a part. And, then it looked like everything was good, you know, but after 5 years, you've got 5 years to be considered it to be in remission, and he hit about 4.5 years.
Wow.
He started coughing really hard. And so he went in, and they said, "No, there's just some stuff in there." They didn't know what it was, but they said it's impacted. No big deal. Okay. And it keeps happening, keeps going on. Finally, he goes back, and they said, "Oh, yeah, your cancer's back again." And at that point, it was everywhere, and they couldn't do anything.
How long ago was that?
That was in 2000, okay. Right around 2000. It started, it would have been in late 90s.
Okay.
And then he made it 4 years, and he passed away in 2002 in February. April, sorry. But it was such an impact on the family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not just, it was a huge drain on my dad and an impact. And I would go visit him and knowing that he had cancer and everything. And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Oh, I'm..." Because he decided to retire.
Okay.
So he was doing work around the house. And I said, "Well, I just came to see you." And he said, "Well, you have a business run. You need to be doing that." And I said, "No, Dad. I am right where I'm supposed to be
right now."
Yeah. And because he was concerned about me.
Yeah.
But it's like, "Dad, I'm right here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do." And I'd be helping him around the house and doing odd jobs and stuff. But it got to a point there where it was... So the very end, if I can talk about that real quick, it was really amazing. We had this, so my family's everywhere. My brothers and sisters, my brother's in Indiana. One of my sisters is in Cleveland, Ohio, still to this day. And they were back then. And then my other sister was close, and then I was close.
Okay.
Lived in the Cambie area.
Okay.
And so we'd planned this great trip, and we were all going to get together, and everyone was coming for this week. And we were going to, we had beach trips, we had all that stuff. And by the time that everyone got there, I was watching my dad the first night, and I'm going, okay, something's not right.
Yeah.
And I could see that it was getting, he just wasn't thinking right. And he would, he started copying everything that I did because he knew that he wasn't thinking correctly. So if he copied what I did, then it must be normal.
He could play it off.
Yeah. And so I'm watching that. And by, that was Sunday. Everyone was there on Sunday. We had a Sunday, Monday. We kind of canceled everything just watching him. And by Wednesday, he was gone. We had hospice in, and it was really quick. By Wednesday, he was gone. But he had been on oxygen and some of those things. But so to say all that, it was a terrible thing, but it was amazing how my whole family was there.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Which is totally...
There's a phrase that we've used numerous times on this show, and I think Amanda knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
you don't.
It's they say that cancer is the disease of love because it brings everybody together. Yeah. And you just get to sit around and just enjoy one another and love on one another. And without those moments, sometimes we may not have that.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing was through the years that I got to be with my dad, those last 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't regret not telling him anything.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when people pass away, you regret, oh, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have told him that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that.
Yeah.
At regret at all. And the last thing that I remember saying to my dad, sorry.
Take your second. You're okay,
was that you were a great, you are a great dad.
Yeah.
I started saying were and I changed it because he was still there.
Yeah.
He said, you are a great dad.
Yeah.
And he couldn't speak at that moment, but his eyes just lit up. And I could see everything that he wanted to say, but he was at a point where he couldn't talk.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The first time that phrase came up, my sister, who co-founded this with me at the time, that way before we co-founded this, her mother-in-law, they were living in the Springfield area, her mother-in-law had gotten stomach cancer. And it was, there was nothing to do for it. So she just, the mother-in-law lived in her house with her and her kids. They were very young at the time. Her kids were young at the time. But she says, I had weeks to spend with my mother-in-law and just relive these memories and love on her, right?
Yeah.
Conversely, a friend of hers, sister, was killed in a car wreck. Mm-hmm. So here one day, gone the next.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when she first heard that phrase, cancer, disease of love, it didn't make sense. Like, you know, cancer, love didn't connect. But she says, but because I had that time with my mother-in-law and you with your father, you have time to love on the person before they die, opposed to a sudden death in a car wreck or whatever, right? So this is really intriguing that's... Amanda and I have said this more than once, that God has connected some very interesting things through this show. When I got up this morning, I was going to put on an orange shirt in honor of our good friend. But it is peach. It's not orange. The peach ones aren't done yet. So I got looking through. I've got all the different colors. So I grabbed
white
this shirt. But I didn't know why until right now. Lung cancer's white.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lung cancer's white.
Didn't That's know that.
Cool. That's and I almost grabbed the blue one. I'm like, no. And I have black-white combination, right? So I was just going for this combination of colors, having no idea what your story was, Danny, but God knew what it was, and I wore the white shirt for a reason.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Interesting And I don't want to, do you have more of the story?
No.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Wow. And that was emotionally impactful for all of us in the room. That, but yeah, thank you for, you know, being vulnerable and telling that story. Yeah. That's awesome. This is an article from AARP, and I saved it because it is such an interesting article. The war on cancer started in the early 70s. President Nixon was watching cancer rates tick up, and he took $1 million of taxpayer dollars to start the National Cancer Institute, and that would have been in the early 70s. And so this article was written to really look at how we've done in those 50 years, right? Is there progress? Is there not progress?
Yeah.
And a couple of them, uterine cancer, for example. This is an unfortunate statistic, but in 1975, 88% of people with uterine cancer survived.
Oh, wow.
In 2013, 82%. So we've gone backwards.
Whoa.
We've gone backwards
with
uterine cancer.
Wow.
And normally it's the other way around.
Yeah, every other one. I mean, I think one of the really significant ones is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma has gone from 46 to 76.
Wow.
That's a lot better chances, right?
Yeah.
Very significant.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones is prostate cancer. Went from a 66% survival to 98% survival.
Wow. That's huge.
But lung cancer in 1975, there was an 11% survival.
Very
and in 2013, it had gone to 22.
Wow.
Okay.
So we haven't made a lot of progress with lung cancer.
No.
And this article says that one in five who get lung cancer die. And Let me rephrase that. One in five cancer deaths are attributed to lung cancer.
Okay.
One in five of the people who die from cancer die from lung cancer.
Wow.
Right.
So lung cancer accounts for 20% of the people dying.
Wow.
And, you know, thank goodness you had some years with your father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, shall
And I guarantee he's very proud of you right now. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you.
Well, and I can tell by, you know, what you said there at the end, even though he couldn't communicate, his eyes communicated.
Oh, yeah. It said he said everything.
Which is
and
awesome.
It's amazing when you're in that situation how grateful you are for hospice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're so amazing. Making sure everything's there, making sure that your hospital bed, making sure that you have, and we just made a call and they took care of everything. I mean, and we had a mountain of morphine and all kinds of different things that we were just trying to keep them comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took care of everything. We didn't have to do anything. It was
well, that makes it very nice for the family.
It was incredible.
Life truly comes full circle because prior to the pandemic, this guy named Scott Mills, who works for a hospice company, wanted to do dragon boat races. And he had done them for years and years and years by himself, one boat. And in 2019, I had just started getting cancer, and I said, why don't we do two boats? So the original idea was just two boats, his and mine.
Uh-huh.
The pandemic put that whole thing on hold. Once we knew that we were past the pandemic enough, long enough to plan this thing, we said, well, let's bring two more boats in. So we added Liberty House, United Way, right? We built this into a four-boat. But the guy who has organized the thing that you're sponsoring does hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Wow. He does.
That's incredible.
That's what his business is.
I definitely, you said he's going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I want to meet him because
Scott Mills is he's the organizer of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Our community just comes full circle with everything.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's incredible.
Change the mood here real quick, right?
Yeah.
No, and when you meet Scott, he really is a lot of fun.
He is.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Scott, and you may have met him for the chamber, he's got a very strong British accent.
Oh, Millsy, for sure.
Oh, yes.
Scott Millsy, for short, right? And he cracked me up the first time I met, when we got to know each other. He had moved to the States from Manchester, England, and he often says he goes back to visit his bum.
Mm-hmm.
His mom. But then he went through a divorce, and so his brother, who lives in Manchester, calls us, are you moving back to England? He said, dude, if I go back to England, I'm a 5-6 tops. I stay here, I'm a 10. Because we just love his accent.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the guy who's helping coordinate. It was kind of his brainchild, and I got involved, and now these guys. But Scott Mills with hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We actually had him on and interviewed him, I think, more
twice.
Than once. Yeah. And it changed my perspective of hospice because I thought it was more like just negative, dreading, just kind of a dark cloud that hovered. Mm. But how he explained it and your experience, it's actually much different. It's they're there to just be there side by side with you.
Yeah. The first time he came in, we had him talk about hospice and palliative care and the difference. He came in a second time because there was a little boy. You've met the parents of Ozzy.
Oh, yes, definitely.
This little boy who had been diagnosed at just shy of his third birthday with a brain tumor had been put on pediatric hospice. And I want him to describe the difference between hospice and when a kid at 4 years old is on hospice.
And palliative care.
And palliative care. Yeah. And so he just did a great job of describing that. And Scott's an awesome guy.
He is.
Yeah. You'll get to meet him numerous times. He'll be there with the boats for us.
Well, and their heart is just incredible. I mean, they show so much.
Not a job for everybody.
No, I don't think
very
I could do that.
Very special person.
I don't think I could do that, but they were so caring and so loving and, you know, just all the arrangements they took care of.
I'm such an emotional person, obviously.
Oh, you'd never make it.
I would never be able to. So it takes a very strong person to be in that type of position.
You have to have a certain heart to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from the medical bed that was in the middle of the house to, like I said, all the drugs and all that stuff that he had to have just to be comfortable, to everything.
Yeah.
We didn't have to worry about anything. They just took care of everything.
That's awesome.
Well, I had another plan for this second half of this show, but we are thrilled that Danny shared, and
I have
zero problem with this show going a different direction
in
the second half.
Too.
This was really heartwarming for me, and I think we all got a little teary at one point as you were telling your dad's story. But what I have done with this show is walk our listeners through a bit of a timeline for Kicking Cancer as an organization. And I don't want to jump in that timeline unless you have some more that you want to share, Dave.
No, thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. In our little timeline, it is now May of 2021, and I had gotten involved with the Kaiser Chamber and Mike Sublett with Odd Moe's. Mm-hmm. And they were doing their Bloom and Iris Golf Tournament, and I think it all supports the NO organization there in Kaiser. And so I usually sponsor a hole, but I told Mike, I said, why don't we sponsor a hole together? Mm-hmm. And so really, Mike sponsored the hole, and we were on the 17th hole at McNary Golf Course, which is a par 3 there at McNary. And I was going to do it with Mandy, who runs the Kaiser one. Well, she was short-staffed, so it wound up being just me at that hole, which is fine. I don't mind. But because it was predominantly Odd Moe's, not Kicking Cancer, I was trying to honor who they were. And so we had a really fun event. It's a fairly long par 3. And so I told the golfers, I shot with it, if you can just get the ball on the green, just get your ball on the green, and you get a free pizza. I only gave away 10 pizzas.
Really?
It is not an easy. Like, they were left, right, center. They were missing the green. I'm like, just get your ball on the green, and you win a free pizza.
Okay.
So that would have been Mike has been working alongside Kicking Cancer for 3.5 years.
That's awesome.
And that was just a really fun event that two of us had did together.
Yeah, that just blossomed into something so much more.
Oh, so much more. I mean, now the beer that's being sold at the Capitals games, which, by the way, there are 9 locations in town. You can get this beer at Magoo's. You can get it at Kaiser Liquor. You can get it all 4 of the Odd Moe's, not just the Capitals games. And it's a 4-way collaboration.
That's awesome.
Sandy M. Brewing made the beer for the Capitals to be promoted through Odd Moe's, and it says on the site, supporting Kicking Cancer. So it's a 4-way collaboration beer.
I love it. Once again, our community coming together.
Yeah.
Well, because our community comes together so much, and I always have an offer at the end of the show, and we're almost out of time, the shirts aren't done yet, but there will be at least 20 people on our boat. Well, there will be 20 on the boat. There will be at least 20 shirts created. Mm-hmm. We're going to create an extra one.
Okay.
For the next person who emails Amanda at
amanda@kslm.news.
You're going to get your own peach shirt in honor of Ashley.
Okay.
Michelle Ashley. Michelle. I'm going to give away a shirt to the next person that honors Anne. It's going to be our Dragon Boy shirt.
Okay, awesome. And really quickly, can I have you guys just plug your businesses on
how do we get a hold of Michelle? How do we get a hold of you?
So you can go directly to my website, michelleashley.com. We are located inside the 45th parallel facing Hyacinth.
Okay.
Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. And best way to remember us is 503-COOL-911.
Oh, I like cool 911.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And this last week has been interesting because earlier this week we wanted the heating part, but today it's like 70 something degrees. Yeah. So this has been a heating and cooling kind of a week too.
I love it.
We appreciate you guys so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for coming in. I truly appreciate it and sharing your stories.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Marianne McNally, who is a residential real estate specialist with Next Home Realty Connection. So if you guys are looking to buy a home, sell a home, or just not sure where to start, give her a call at 503-409-4389. We'll be back next week
as the movement continues.